Our scripture reading for today is from the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's page 218 in the Pew Bible. Deuteronomy 30, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 20, a little bit longer passage than what's printed in the bulletin. The book of Deuteronomy is a series of messages that Moses gives to the people of Israel as they are about to enter the promised land after their 40-year wilderness wandering. And Moses' goal is to encourage the people to remember the covenant and to keep that covenant as they enter the land. So let us hear God's word. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of the ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea and for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. Well, today is the Sunday before a new year, and I thought that it would be good to talk about plans and goals as God's people. It's good to remind ourselves of the big questions, who we are, what we're about, why we do what we do, and then to check in with ourselves and ask whether we are living in ways that are in keeping with the answers to those big questions. Businesses and organizations develop vision statements, and then they set goals for how they're to achieve those visions. And it's good to do that on a personal level also. What vision do we have for our lives, for the lives of our families? Have we set goals and plans for ourselves that will help us reach that vision? If we're believers in Christ, then at the highest level, all of us should have the same vision to, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Or as Moses puts it in chapter 6 of this book, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's our highest calling. It is to be the chief end or purpose of everything that we do, to love God, to glorify Him, and to delight in Him, to truly enjoy Him. Moses reminds the people of Israel of this as they are about to enter the promised land. 40 years prior to this, God had entered into a covenant relationship with the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. Moses was the mediator of this covenant, of this relationship. And now 40 years later, just before Israel is about to enter the promised land, God reaffirms this relationship, that God will be their God, and that they will be His people. And through Moses, He brings it to mind, brings all of this to mind, because He wants the people to prosper. He wants their good, to live long in the land that He is giving to them. And this is the setting, as I said, for this entire book of Deuteronomy. It's only by faithfully living in covenant with God that Israel is going to find rest in this land and prosper. And so Moses urges the people to keep the covenant, to remain faithful to this marvelous relationship that God has established with them. If they remain in covenant with God, they remain in relationship with the one who is their very life and who prospers, promises to prosper them, to protect them, and to give them reason for joy and for celebration. If, however, they break their relationship with God and think that they can make a go of it without God, then they cut themselves off from their lifeline and they will perish. In verse 19 of this chapter, Moses says to the people, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live." So Israel's goal as they enter this new phase of their life as a nation is to remain faithful to the Lord, to bring Him glory, to enjoy Him and the blessings that come from a relationship with Him. And as we enter 2019, that should be our goal as well. God offers life to us as well, not temporal life in Palestine by keeping the old covenant that God had made with Israel, but eternal life in a new creation, by keeping a new covenant that God has made through Jesus Christ. To help Israel to be covenant keepers, Moses does three things here. He reminds them of what God has done for them. He delivers God's warning, and he tells them where to find help. So those are going to be our three points for today. Remember the good that God has done. heed God's warning. And then third, look to God for help. First, Moses reminds Israel of their past relationship with God. Now, we didn't read this morning, but in the first 9 verses of the previous chapter, chapter 29, Moses reminds Israel of how God had delivered them from the Egyptians by mighty acts of power. The Israelites didn't have to lift a single sword or shoot a single arrow. It was all God. And then there was how God kept them alive for 40 years in the wilderness with water and manna, and how their clothes did not wear out during that time. And also, Moses reminds the people of how he had allowed them, of how God had allowed them to defeat the Amorites who had threatened them. So God had rescued them. He had provided for them, and he had protected them. Now, why was this important for the people of Israel to keep in mind? Well, it was important because it told them important things about their God. It told them that this God who had entered into a covenant with them was powerful, that he was faithful in doing what he said he would do. And it also told them that he loved them, and that he wanted their good. Looking back, they had every reason to believe that God was for them. And looking ahead, they had every reason to count on God to finish the work that he had begun. And so there was a reason to trust this God for the future, and there was reason to remain faithful to the covenant that he had made with them. God would do what he said he would do. They could count on that. Well, like the Old Testament people of Israel, we too have a relationship with God to look back on. In fact, Israel's history is part of our history. In many respects, we who believe in Jesus Christ are a continuation of the people of Israel. We serve the same God. Our Savior and King, Jesus Christ, is a descendant of David. And the fundamental laws that God gave through Moses are the same for us as they were for Israel. Now, there have been some changes with the coming of Christ and the movement from the old covenant to the new covenant. But those changes are only because we've moved from a time of promise to a time of fulfillment. But the principles are the same. And because we live in the time of fulfillment, we have much more in our history than Israel did. We have the birth of the Messiah. We have his teaching and miracles. We have his death and his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. We have the day of Pentecost and the birth and spread of the apostolic church, and the teaching and the miraculous signs of the apostles. And so along with the history of Israel, these things that we find in the New Testament also tell us that God is powerful, and that he is faithful, and that he is going to do what he said he is going to do, that he's able to do that. And these things tell us that he loves us, right? How much more evidence do we need? God has given us his one and only Son. So looking back, we have every reason to believe, like Israel, that God is for us. Looking ahead, we have every reason to count on God to finish the work that he's begun. We have reason to trust this God for the future, and we've reason to remain faithful to the covenant that he has made with us through Jesus. God will do what he said he would do. We can count on it. So that's the first point, to help us be covenant keepers. Remember the good things that God has done for you. Remember what he did for Israel. Remember what he has done for us who believe in Jesus. But then second, remember also God's warning. And we see this in verses 17 and 18. These verses are a shortened version of the extended warning that Moses gives in the previous chapter, chapter 29, where he speaks about what will happen if Israel abandons the covenant. Really, these two chapters go together. But I thought it would be extra long. It was a long reading this morning. I thought it would be extra long if we read both of them. But in chapter 29, Moses speaks about what will happen if Israel abandons the covenant. And what's interesting, if you look at those verses, Moses describes this in apocalyptic terms. In verse 23, he likens the destruction that will take place to the destruction that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim. These are the cities of the plain that were completely destroyed in Abraham's day because of their wickedness. And so we have a history recorded for us, not only of the blessings of the covenant that God brings upon those who remain faithful to him, but also the curses of the covenant that God brings upon those who reject him and go their own way. There are a number of examples in Scripture, in this history that God gives to us. There was the flood in the day of Noah. There was, as just been mentioned, Sodom and Gomorrah. There's the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians and Israel's exile that took place in 586 B.C. There's the second destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 A.D., which was predicted by Jesus. And these events in Scripture stand as warnings to us of what happens when people abandon God and abandon his covenant. And these warnings are still relevant to us. They're still important to us as new covenant believers. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." Okay, he's looking back at the judgments that God brought upon the nation of Israel. And he's telling us as Christians that these things are written for us. Okay, they're there as a warning for us. And in verse 6 of that chapter, he says, "Now these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did." The writer of Hebrews also speaks to these things. He says that the people of Israel had heard the good news. Interesting words, right? God, through Moses, in bringing this covenant to them, had brought good news, a promised land, blessings from God. And the promise of mercy and forgiveness. But the writer of Hebrews goes on to say that though they heard these things, it wasn't mixed with faith in their hearts. They heard it with their ears, but they did not accept it in their hearts. And so they fell, he says, into disobedience. Moses does not want that to happen for these people. He wants them to choose life. He wants them to obey the covenant so that they and their offspring will live. These things are here so that we can avoid these dangers. We're told about these things. There's some teaching out there these days that God will never abandon us, no matter how far we go in sinfulness. And I hear this quite a bit, actually, in some of the contemporary Christian music that's out there. But if these passages that I just pointed to are to mean anything to us, then I'm here to tell you today that there are limits to God's patience, and there are limits to God's mercy. There's no question that God's love is very great, and that his patience is incredibly long. We talk about long-suffering, the long-suffering of God. But there comes a point in time where that patience of God ends. And so we see Israel taken into exile. Repentance, turning from sin to the Lord, is not something that earns us points with God. It's not something that atones or makes up for past wrong that we have done. But the Westminster Confession of Faith says that repentance is of such necessity that no one can expect pardon without it. We must turn to the Lord. We must pursue obedient covenant keeping. And for those who do, there is pardon. There is forgiveness of sin. None of us here is without sin. None of us could stand before God apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. Nobody could have a hope of the blessings of the covenant apart from what Jesus has done for us. But we do need to turn to the Lord. We do need to seek him, as Moses calls upon Israel to do, to love him with whole hearts, with all of our heart and soul and might. Now, this brings us to the last point. We need to remember as well God's help, because this is not something that we can do on our own. If we had read in chapter 29, it speaks about how, although God was calling them to this obedient covenant keeping, in verse 4 of that chapter, Moses says that God has not yet, this is very interesting words, God has not yet given them a heart to understand, or eyes to see, or ears to understand. And actually what we read about in these two chapters is Moses acting as a prophet, predicting what's going to take place, predicting the history of this nation. And as it turns out, when we read in the history of Israel, these people, we see this decline. There are some ups and there are some downs in their history, in their relationship with God. But mostly it's a downward trend until finally God says enough. And the Babylonians invade in 586, and Israel is taken into exile. And but then we come to chapter 30. And in chapter 29, I give a title to that chapter. I call it The Covenant Abandoned. But in chapter 30, we have the covenant restored. And something's going to take place. God, who has brought the judgments upon him that he warned against, he's still going to pursue these people. And he's going to do something. He's going to change their hearts. In chapter 30, in verse 6, Moses says this. He says that the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. So what's God going to do? He's going to change the hearts of this people so that they will turn from their sin and return to God. He's going to enable them to now do what before they could not do. Before this, God had not given them a heart to keep his covenant, but now he will. And so we see in history the people of Israel in exile, they turn back to God. And God does bring them back to their land. We read about that, Moses' prediction that this will take place. God's going to gather them from all the nations and bring them back, and he's going to bless them. And this return took place during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. But even with this, all of this is a picture. It's a picture of something greater. Something greater that God would do through Jesus. That's what the Old Testament is. It's a picture book of real things that have yet to come. And this change of heart of which Moses speaks actually comes about through Christ, who gives the Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul quotes a portion of this chapter in his letter to the Romans. And he quotes from verses 11 through 14. I want to read those again for us. Moses writes in verse 11, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend to heaven for us to bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart so that you can do it." Now, this is pointing ahead to what prophet Jeremiah would prophesy about the new covenant, where God would write his law upon the hearts of his people. And it's what Ezekiel spoke about in chapter 36 of his prophecy, where God would place his Spirit in the hearts of his people and bring about that transformation. And Paul ties this passage from Deuteronomy with the work of Christ. What the old covenant could not accomplish for people, it couldn't give them new hearts. It couldn't make it possible for people to be covenant keepers. What the old covenant could not do, Jesus does under the new covenant by sending the Spirit. God gives us help through his Son. We can turn to God from our sin. We can keep God's law. It's not too hard for us to do. We can keep the covenant. And for all who do, God will forgive sin and bestow his blessings. Now, to have this help, we need Jesus. We need his Spirit. And even with that, at this present time, we don't keep the covenant perfectly. There are times when we will stumble. But when we do, we need to repent again and turn to God. And we're assured that God will receive us because of Christ and he will forgive our sins. It's not like we're earning points. It's not like we're accumulating merit for ourselves. But as I mentioned before, we do need to turn if we are to expect pardon from the Lord. We need to return to the Lord as Israel, the people of Israel, returned to Him out of or in the midst of their exile. Only then will we receive the blessings of the covenant that come through Jesus Christ. So remember what God has done for you in Christ. Remember the warnings that are there that are for our good. And remember to look to God, look to Jesus for help. And do this as you make your plans, as you set your goals for 2019. It's good to do that, to have aspirations. We may not hit them all, but it is good to keep God's covenant in view when we make our plans, to remember that in all of life, whatever we do, whether it's plans for our families or plans for our schooling or plans concerning our jobs or whatever concerning the future, that we do that according to God's word, that we keep the principles of His covenant in view. Because as Moses says, this is our life. This is how we stay connected to the vine, to Jesus. This is how we stay connected to the Lord. May God bless us as we look ahead to 2019, both individually and in your families and as a church. We look to Him, our God, for His help and the blessings that are ours in Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us, how you came to us when we would not have come to you, when you established a covenant with us, and when you made a promise to transform our hearts, not by anything that we have done, but you have done this. And you have sent your Son to be a sacrifice for our sin. Lord, what more could you have done? What more can we ask of you than this? We thank you for the promises that are ours, promises that extend into a life to come, a life that is much better than this one, a life that is currently fading away. We look to you for our eternal hope. Be with us, Lord, as we live out our moments, our days in this coming year. We ask for your blessing, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.